welcome to the Chelsea Skidmore Show. I'm here today with my guest comedian, Chappelle Lacey.
What up?
So you're coming in here with a Doc Holliday shirt.
Yeah. So funny. I was wearing this last night, too.
Oh, really? Nice. I wore this two nights ago.
Oh, yeah. See,
so we're repeating.
Yeah.
We're repeating.
I never care.
Are you crazy about laundry or no?
No.
See, like.
Like, I'll do it, you know, like, I'll get it done, but, like, it's never, like, I don't know. I'm comfortable wearing, fuck it, you know. But I have a lot of, like, t-shirts like this and band t-shirts.
So. Oh, you do? You're an interesting guy. Okay, so first of all, I feel like, how long have you been in L.A.?
Just a little over a year.
Okay.
A year and 2 months.
Because you came for me out of nowhere. Has anyone said that? You came out of nowhere?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. You're very funny. I had heard of you before I met you.
Okay.
And so all of a sudden, like, I heard your name, Chappelle Lacey. And I was like, who is that? I haven't met him. They're like, oh, he's so funny. And then I see this really funny video that Ari Manis and Steven made.
Yeah.
And you just come out in the wheelchair.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh my God, he's so funny.
Yeah, that was a funny video.
And then a couple weeks later, I saw you at the Just for Laughs audition.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
What was it? That was Hollywood Improv. We did that, yeah?
Yeah. Yes, I hate that room.
Why does everyone hate that room?
You don't hate it?
Not at all.
Really? I don't
everyone's
like it.
Everyone's like, I can't stand that.
It's
room.
Not good for it. Comedy. I don't think.
Man, I feel like I always do good in that room.
You fucking killed. You killed.
Yeah, it was dope.
You
was
did
fun.
The best. Did you know that?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't watching.
Oh, but do you have awareness about that kind of stuff?
is this? I'm very kind of like reserved.
Humble.
At shows and stuff like that, I usually just kind of sit in a corner and chill. Not that I don't talk to anyone. I usually, not usually watching or anything. Like, not out of a disrespect for people, but I usually like to just sit, relax, and chill, I don't mind having conversation. But I am just like I usually am the type of person to leave right after.
Of course.
Right after
I me do too. A set.
Yeah, yeah. And not that I know of, but like most people like understand that, like, oh, you know, he's probably just going to do another thing. You know what I mean? Which most of the time it is. Or, you know, I do a lot of reflecting, so I'll just go home and reflect and stuff like that.
Really?
I have to. If I don't, I go crazy.
Do you have a daily reflection process?
Yeah, I journal every day intensely.
Is this morning pages or different?
Whenever I get the chance to do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
But do you know what I mean when I say morning pages?
No, what's that?
That's from this book called The Artist's Way, mm-hmm. where one of the exercises is every day you write 3 pages in a notebook.
Oh, so yeah, I usually write 3 to 4 pages in mm-hmm. a notebook, but I didn't know that. Wait, is that from Kopperman or wait, what's his name?
It's a girl who wrote it.
It's, a girl?
It's actually James Cameron's wife. The guy who did Titanic.
Oh, okay.
Right?
I'm not sure.
I think so. But she wrote it. It's a really great book. It's like for artists and creative people.
Got it.
And it has a lot of different exercises that helps you like get some focus and like realizations about like things in life and like, oh, I always wanted to do this. Why am I not doing this? And
yeah,
like,
I search for a lot of those books.
It's incredible.
Oh, okay.
Incredible.
Okay.
You would love it. But yeah, the writing is like one of the most important elements of the process. It's like a 12-week like thing.
And that's what helps me become like more self-aware.
I got my writing notebook right there.
Oh, look at that.
I love that you're self-aware. A lot of people aren't.
No.
Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy.
Steven asked my mom, how would you describe Chelsea when she was younger? And she said, alert. She was very aware.
Yeah?
Yeah. I was I'm too self-aware at times. Do you find yourself?
You know, yeah. And there's times where I'll be talking to people and I feel like sometimes I'm like, you know, like I'm just like, oh, this is a boring conversation. You know, I do that a lot. And sometimes I feel bad because I will, just in a sense, because I'm like, man, I got to realize like not everyone works on themselves in as intensely as I do. So a lot of times I just like, not that I think people are dumb. I'm just like, ugh, you're too far behind.
Wow. I totally know what you mean.
And I don't mean that in a rude way possible. I mean, for an explanation, to be able to explain it, that's like, I catch myself doing that a lot. Like people will talk and they'll just catch me stare at them like, and they're like, oh, are you okay? And then I'm like, yeah, I'm fine.
I'm already obsessed with you. You are so interesting to me. And obviously I want to get into all the cheerleading stuff, like, this is so interesting because I don't meet a lot of people like this.
Yeah.
I feel like, especially in LA and a lot of comics, like, so do you drink or do drugs?
No, I don't do anything.
Okay. Yeah. Are you sober? Did you ever?
Yeah, I did.
And I
was really big into drinking.
Okay. And then
I stopped at 27.
Okay. So I'm sober.
Yeah, 5 years.
And congrats.
Thank you.
And I feel like, and I feel like a dick saying this, but I feel like there's a different experience of reflection if you don't drink and do drugs.
Yes.
So that's what I was kind of introducing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, I had to do all that stuff. You know, I come from a very crazy background. You know, I was, grew up with an abusive stepfather, you know, and then, lost my brother to drugs, lost my best friend to suicide. Didn't know who my biological father was till I was like 29.
Wow.
You know, a lot of this stuff in a play, and it's like, oh, you're supposed to just live life. You know what I mean? And it's a tough thing to deal with, but I knew if I wanted to be a better person, I had to like accept so much, you know what I mean? And like a lot of that stuff I accept. That's why I wouldn't be comfortable to say like any of this stuff before, you know? I had to realize so much about myself. I'm a very sensitive guy, you know what I mean? Which has taken me years to say that. I didn't start saying that until, you know, this year.
Oh,
you
really?
Know, 32 years old, you know? And that is when I started saying that. But I have to love my sensitivity. I have to love my anger. I have to love, you know, these things that like drive me crazy, because I've learned to like shift it into using these things as fuel to like push me forward. You know, so it has not been an easy ride. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like I just like, oh, but so with me coming out here to LA, been here a year and 2 months, but before I moved, I feel like I was running away from like Arizona. Oh, that's where I'm from, Phoenix, okay. Arizona. I feel like I just kept running away from there. You know, I moved to Texas. I moved to Kentucky. I moved to Orange County. I moved to, you know, Chicago. You know, like I just kept trying to get away from everything in Arizona because it was just so, you know, like I was just so sad there. And I thought if I just left there, that those things would just go away.
But you're with yourself everywhere you go.
Everywhere you go. You know what I mean? You can't run away from that. And like, I thought like I just needed to like, yeah, like, go off by myself, and that's not the case.
Yeah,
you know, it's really not. Because one, the people that really love you and really ride for you, you need them around, which is super important. I really had to, you know, stop looking at others, and really started looking at myself, which is you know, it's taken a lot to like understand that. And I really realized it with moving here. And moving to LA was probably the most correct I've felt about leaving Arizona. Because, you know, since I was 19, I had been moving in and out of Arizona, you know, until I was 26 is when I came back. That was after my brother died. And so, you know, I stayed there 26 to 31. And that was the longest I had been back home. So it really like made me like sit there, absorb a lot, and really understand it, because couldn't run away from it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? No matter how many times I tried, I kept going, I kept having to go back to Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then when I decided to move to LA, that was when I was like, oh shit, this doesn't feel like I'm leaving on like a fuck this place.
Yeah.
You know, it felt right. I was like, oh shit. Yeah. I'm able to do this.
Yeah.
You know, that's when it like really hit me. And then coming here, I just knew there were so many people. It's a bigger city. It's bigger than where I come from. There's a lot going on here. And so what I had to really realize is, okay, there's a lot of things that can distract you out here. So how do I not get distracted? Well, being aware of myself. You know, it's like, you know, like being comfortable in situations that most people wouldn't be comfortable in, and handling them in ways that most people wouldn't be able to.
What do you have an example?
Okay, you know how people can get out here like with you know, so we're out here doing comedy. You know, say like, you know, you're out here and you're trying to do it and you're, you know, just new to the scene, and you get that the mean girls, if you will.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like you get this person that is like, oh yeah, you fucking out here trying to, and it's like, damn, yeah, I'm trying. Most people would handle that and like let that really get to them.
Mm-hmm.
And with me, what I've come to understand, like, oh, that has nothing to do with me.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just like, oh, I get it.
That's their shit.
You know what I mean? Because if they were aware of themselves, they wouldn't even have to say that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They wouldn't have to be that to a person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like that's, you know, that's what I've really, you know, taken the time to study. I do a lot.
So walk me through what your daily rituals or process is.
Okay, usually I wake up. If I'm not going to work, I'll go with the day off just because it's easier. I'll wake up, walk over to the coffee shop, and I have three different books that I write in. You know, One's a book where I'm just, you know, say what I'm thankful for.
Gratitude list.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and it doesn't even have to be big things. You know, just you know, I try not to make it big.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, you find more, you know. The second book is, you know, like the jokes and stuff like that. And then the third book is the journaling, where I really lay it down. The joke book isn't really like mapping out a whole joke. It's usually like I write down a thought.
Yeah.
And then a lot of it I take to the journal. So a lot of my journaling is where I find a lot of my material.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I haven't crossed those over.
Yeah.
But I'll come out in my journaling. I'll come out with more like action list ideas, mm-hmm, of things I need to do.
Yeah.
And then I'll implicate those, just, you know, yeah, in general, but I haven't done that with jokes really.
Mm-hmm. It's I don't even know how I really discovered that method. Maybe because like I was writing one day and then all of a sudden a joke came out of, like, I talked about it on stage and I was like, oh shit, you know, because these thoughts are genuine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're authentic, and like, that's always the goal on stage, is to be authentic.
Yeah.
You know, so it was just like, oh, so it just made sense to me.
Yeah. So is it kind of just like free form, like just writing out your thoughts, yeah, as they come?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That my journal is where I let out everything.
Mm-hmm.
My insecurities, my anger, my happiness, you know, things that embarrass me, you know, like everything is what I let out in that journal.
Isn't it amazing where when you put pen to paper, the stuff that just starts happening, so much is loaded up in your subconscious that you don't even realize. And then I often answer myself. It's almost like God is answering me back when I write. Do you have that?
Yes. I feel that.
Like things won't be a big deal anymore because I'll kind of.
Yeah, it's like
be
weird.
Like nurturing myself when I'm writing, and then I'll be like, oh.
Yeah, it's like, oh, shit.
Or a lot of answers will come to me.
Yeah. You know, I do feel that, especially because, you know, with my brother and best friend, they were probably the two most, you know, significant people in my life. And to you know, live life without them has been really tough. You know, struggled with it for years. But, I mean, I found my ways to really attack, you know, handling it, but you know, and that journaling is like a big part, you know, and you know, when I question certain things of them not being around, all of a sudden this like answer will pop up, and it's weird, and I got, you know, it's a weird type of energy, you know, and at times I do feel like I do feel their energy around. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Yeah. You know, I do feel that stuff. And, you know, it just reminds me like, oh, okay. You know, hit you with that like, oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I look for those kind of, I'm open to those kind of spiritual moments. I was just in the desert. I was looking the front of the mug. Don't talk to me until I've had my Ritalin Concerta. Isn't that funny?
That's hilarious.
So I was in Palm Desert and with Steven, we went out of town for a couple days and I was in a nail salon and he went next door to get a massage. And everyone in Palm Desert is like super old. Everyone's retired. It was all like super old ladies, like 80s and 90s. And I was getting my nails done and I look over and this old lady came in who looked like she was about 90. And she just sat in the pedicure chair and was like, I'm here for my soak. And then she was just sitting there with her doing a foot soak, which I've never seen in my life.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And then I asked the woman who was doing my nails and I was like, oh, does she just come here and do a foot soak? And she goes she's a regular customer, but about once a week, she'll come in here to do a foot soak because she's retired. She has no one else in her life and she's alone. And if just turning on the water for her gives her, like, makes her feel good and, like, she belongs somewhere, I'm happy to do that.
Wow.
And I was, like, blown away.
That is awesome.
And then this song from American Beauty came on. It was like a random song.
Got it.
But it was just like, it was so emotional and it was just like a soundtrack to the moment. And I felt like I was in a movie. And I was like, nothing, like all the stuff that I get mad about doesn't matter. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like in one of those moments. And I was so moved by it. And then there was another lady next to me who was like so old. And like the Asian guy there was like picking her like nail color for her. And they couldn't quite communicate. But she trusted him to like pick the color. I don't know. Yeah. It was like all these little things and like, I don't know. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I know exactly what you mean. You almost find this sense of like, it's not like carelessness. It's just like
simplicity.
Oh, yeah. Simplicity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That reminded me of what you just talked about.
Yeah. I mean, I do. Yeah. Like there's just moments like that I feel where I'm like, oh shit. I think my brother has something to do with that. You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy. I'll explain one. I was doing a spot at the store, the main room, and usually when I'm backstage, you know, because all the big dogs are on there. So usually when I'm backstage, I usually just sit and chill. I'm just quiet. And then Joe Rogan and I started talking. You know, we're just casually talking and, you know, and it ended up getting pretty deep. I mean, you know, Rogan and, you know, we found a lot of similarities, you know, like the anger and, you know, issues with, you know, fathers and stuff like that. And you know, it was pretty cool. And then, you know, when I was saying bye to him, you know, he was like, oh, let me follow you on Instagram, blah, 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 you know, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, started following me. And then he messaged me to, like, you know, come into the Joe Rogan and Friends show, which was really awesome. Cool. But what was crazy about that is my brother wanted to be a UFC fighter. That was like the last thing he talked to me about before he passed. So it was nuts, you know. Sorry, I'm just drinking that tea like that.
And I would like you to continue to enjoy it.
Yeah. No, but it was just crazy to like think about that. You know what I mean? That was the last conversation we had because he wanted to train for it. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, holy shit. And then here I am, you know.
Yeah, it's serendipitous.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Yeah.
It's like pretty crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But like I catch those moments. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like I catch them like just like, oh shit.
And that's a nice way to stay connected to him.
Yeah.
Spiritually.
Yeah.
And energetically.
Yeah. It's always like, and I do feel, you know, like he puts people in my life in a sense.
Wow.
You know, because him and my best friend, they were like my protectors. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They were just like, no one could fuck with me. Not a single person. Like they were right there, you know, just in general. You know, my brother was dealing with our abusive stepfather, you know, and then my best friend, he would, you know, wait outside my house, you know, after school, you know, because he knew I would run away.
Yeah.
You know, we would run to his house. So, you know, and I feel like, you know, since they've been gone, I do feel like they put people in my life that are in a sense of like, oh, this will be good for you.
I love
you
know that. What I mean? Yeah.
It's crazy. You know, but I do think that shit is tight. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I do, you know, believe in that kind of stuff, you know?
Did you stop drinking after they passed? Did it have something to do with?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, and I was headed down a road where, you know, man, when I was drinking, it was just really ugly, mm-hmm. you know? And I didn't need anyone around. I was doing it by myself. And I would just get so trash, you know. I didn't have a car or nothing, but I lived really close to a bunch of bars. You know, I was living in downtown Phoenix. And it was just, you know, easy access for me. I would sit at a bar at a stool by myself, you know.
Yeah.
As if I was some, like, you know, construction worker after work. But I was just, you know, I was there to just, like, not like, oh, man, the day's over. You know, mine was just because.
I'm there to get fucked up.
Yeah, and I didn't want to. I was trying to not think about a lot of things.
Absolutely.
Because, like, when my brother died, like, everything started coming back.
Okay.
You know, and that happened because, you know, I went through anger management. Mm-hmm. And I started, you know, finding this path of, like, you know, being in control of my emotions. And when that happened, it was like, fuck, I lost control. I lost complete control.
But that's understandable.
Yeah.
But it's good that you had some tools that maybe you were able to.
And there was a thing there was a lot of great people in my life that really stuck with me, and I was like trying to run away from them, mm-hmm. you know, and it was like, fuck, why am I doing that? I went away, you know, and I was like, fuck, these are people I need around me.
That's amazing that you have that awareness.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people wouldn't.
No.
And they could be like, fuck them. Yeah. And push people away.
Yeah, a lot of people think they got to push people away and like, you know, like, but it's like, no, there's people that really ride for you. You know, it may not be a lot, you know what I mean? But that amount that's riding for you, the way they ride for you is very heavy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I had to really realize that.
Is there someone in your life who helped you with all of this? Or
man, this beautiful person, beautiful soul. His name's Chip Chilton. And this is when I was going to college in Texas, when I was cheering out there. And he I'll tell you the story. So so I was in anger management, and he was my psychology teacher. And one day he walked by when I was in, you know, my session. And I think the next day in class, I was like, hey, man, do you know who that lady is? You know, do you know who I was talking to there? You know, and he's like, no, who is she? I was like, oh, it's Miss Barry, you know. He goes, oh, what does she do? I was like, oh, she's my anger management teacher. I thought, like, because you're, you know, psychology.
Yeah.
You know? And then he was like, anger management, what? I said, yeah, I'm in anger management. Like,
because you don't seem like an angry person.
No. And so he was like, why don't I make you angry? And I was like, huh?
He said, why don't I make you angry?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah. So I was confused. I was like, he goes, why don't I make you angry? I was like, I don't know, you're a cool guy. And he was like, no, why don't I make you angry? And I was like, I don't know how to answer this question.
Yeah.
And then he was like, because he would get so excited. He was the only teacher I like really fucked with heavy. And every morning before class would start, I would always shake his hand. Just because, you know, I was just like, I really like this dude. You know,
I like that.
Yeah, I would just shake his hand. And he loved it. He told me, he goes, do you realize every morning when you shake my hand, how much that brightens my day? And I was like, no. You know, because I was just doing it. Because I was just like, oh, I like this dude. You know
it's
what I mean?
Respect, though.
Yeah.
It's like he feels seen, heard, respected by students, everything that he's doing.
Yeah. And I didn't catch that, you know, because like a lot of shit was just in my head. I was just like, oh, I like that guy. And then so he was like, I want you to go home. And I want you to think about why I don't make you angry. And I was like, okay. And I literally sat in my dorm thinking about that shit. And I was like, fuck, I don't know. I really sat there. Because, I mean, I respect the dude so much that I was like, I'm going to take the time to really do this.
Yeah.
So I went up to him. I was like, Chip, I don't know why you don't make me angry. And I was like, I can't answer that, man. And then he's like, okay. He goes, why don't you come by my office at lunchtime? He goes, this isn't a doctor to patient. This isn't teacher to student. He goes, we're just going to become friends. And I was like, okay, cool. So I go there, and he's got this cool-ass office. It was filled with a bunch of shit. You know, he had a guitar in there, a lot of collectible stuff, you know, a bunch of old rock stuff. And I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's not who I thought this dude was.
Yeah.
And so we sit down and start talking. He's like, tell me a little bit about yourself. And I was like, oh, I was like, I'm a cheerleader on campus, a punk rocker, you know.
That was great combo.
yeah, right. And I was like, you know, that was all I had at that time. And he goes, oh, you like punk rock music? And I was like, hell yeah. And I was like, and he was like, well, tell me one of your favorite bands. And I was like, seriously, dude, you're a teacher.
G.G. Allen?
He's a wild one. But I was like, dude, you're a teacher. You're not going to know any fucking bands. And then I named a band.
Which
I was like, Black Flag.
I knew you were going to say that. Yeah, oh, yeah, you had a Black Flag shirt.
Yeah.
I noticed that.
Yeah. And so I was like, Black Flag. Not only did he tell me about Black Flag, but he told me about other bands that came from that same era.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, shit. I was like, damn, this dude's a real deal. So then he got me. You know, I locked in with him, you know, based off that. You know, and so basically what they did, they took the things that I really liked and were really passionate about, and they used that to help me with my anger.
Oh.
Yeah. So they took punk rock. They took Black Flag. They took, you know, I'm a big Henry Rollins geek. They took all that, and they were like, you know, so this is what it is. This. And I was like, shit.
So what does that mean? How does that incorporate into, like...
So,
how you handle, or it, maybe explain like how anger management works and then how, what you need to make one of the tools
So anger management teaches you that your anger is is never going to leave. That's what I was told. You know, at least mine. You know, they're like, it's never going to leave. You're always going to have this. Like, this is what you were born into. You know what I mean?
They're so
like,
how could you manage from, it?
Yeah, they're like, you come from a violent upbringing. Like, this is what your life is. You know, this is what you were born into. But it's not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not a bad thing. You can make it a good thing.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, shit. And so basically, you know, they helped me fall in love with my anger to be able to use it in a positive way. You know, they helped me, you know, become a lot more intelligent and clear with what a situation is going down. Because someone could say something to me and I would just fucking black out and react.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a very aggressive way. And so I would go fucking nuts on people, you know, and
name calling.
Oh, I was trying to hurt people.
Yeah.
Mine was like strictly violent.
What is that?
That's where I came from. That was mm-hmm. my stepfather.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I knew. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was normal. You know what I mean? So like all my, cause like if I did something, his reaction was to hit. So I felt like that with everyone else.
Do you have like that one person that you kind of make like, so like I know that
voice of reason.
Well, no. So like Steven has issues with his mom.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that he sees me as his mom.
Okay.
So it's like he's projecting all the shit from his childhood, like that I'm that person now.
Got
so
it.
Do you have that sort of, well, I guess you're like, are you like, if like, do you get triggered by certain things and then you connect it to like one of those parental figures? Do you know what I mean?
It's been a minute since I've had like an Albert. It's been years.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. Actually, no, I had one couple back in March,
mm-hmm.
At a bar, and I was like, this is why I don't go to bars, you know?
Yeah.
But,
so you learn your triggers,
yeah,
how to avoid them. And then what are some of the techniques that they teach you?
So what they taught me was like to use my words to beat someone with intelligence instead of my fist.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, you know, okay. One time a dude was coming at me like super aggressive and I was like, hey man, I was like, the way you're coming at me has nothing to do with me and everything to do with you. So you're exposing your weakness right now. So,
but didn't that make someone want to fucking get mad at you? Like, how do people respond to that?
He got mad, but I was just like, I mean, really, really think about it.
Well, that will fuck someone up.
Yeah. You know, so like that's how I usually.
I'm just going to put that there.
Yeah, I'm just going to give you this. It's because I was that guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You know, I had to know I was, you know, had weaknesses.
Everyone does.
Yeah. You know, and even today, there's times where I still feel very weak. You know what I mean? There's times where, you know, my stuff about my stepfather would get in my head.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You know, I'm in my first relationship ever.
Ever?
Ever.
Wow.
You know, it was probably best that I wasn't before.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I always tell people that, and people like, because people, when people hear it, they're like, oh shit, like you, and I was like, it was best that I wasn't.
Right.
You know?
You would hook up with people, but never make it like more than that.
It was very, you know, mm-hmm. like, yeah.
Leave so me alone. Does it feel scary?
To be, yes. Because I saw how my stepfather treated my mom,
mm-hmm.
you know, which was really, you know, he really made her feel like she had to be with him. She mm-hmm. couldn't be with anyone else. She couldn't express herself. She couldn't, you know.
Yeah, I've anything. Seen that.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And that's, and like, he never hit her or anything like that.
Mental manipulation.
Yeah. Like very, very, very like, and watching that every day, you know, and then, you know, at 15, you know, I was adopted into a family, and great, great marriage, great. But that's not the one that stuck with me.
Was it uncomfortable being in that new household, getting used to that? Because, you know,
very uncomfortable.
So, like, I grew up in a dysfunctional home. Mm-hmm. So all of my relationships were dysfunctional.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I was used to and comfortable with that chaos.
Yeah.
So it's like we're constantly creating problems and fights to mimic that, you know, childhood home. So when you were in that new home, what types did you, like, kind of act out? Did you?
Yeah, I was very defensive.
Yeah.
You know? It's just because a lot of shit wasn't making sense to me.
Right.
I was just like, what the fuck? Like, you love me?
Yeah.
Why? You know, why do you love me?
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? What is this?
And how did they respond?
Man, they were very patient.
Wow.
They're very patient.
Do you still talk to them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. To this day. Very heavy. You know what I mean? Like I just say, I have one big giant family. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty cool. But yeah, when I first got there. Yeah. I'm like, I was like, this, what is this? Like, the word love was never said in my home where I came from.
Yeah.
Never heard it. Never heard that word. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Never heard it. So when I was here, like, I was like, man, they throwing that out there too loose. You know what I mean? I was like, why? What? Like, what is, do they really know what that means? You know, it was very, it was very weird to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was, I remember one time, my baby sister, you know, from my adopted side, how old is she? She'll be 16. I'm 32. And I think I was like 18 at the time. And I was going, I would get off school early, super early. And I was going to clean the backyard. And she was like, can I hang out in the backyard with you? How old was she at the time? I can't remember. Probably like 3 or 4. And I was like, no, you can't come out there. And like, I just said it in an aggressive way because that's how I spoke. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how to speak in a non-aggressive way. Like, I didn't mean it, like, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and she started crying. And I was like, why is she crying? You know what I mean? Like, expecting her to, like, you know, what like, I just said no, but I'm saying it in this aggressive tone.
Right.
You know,
it's,
and then
the tone. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, I don't know what it was that hit me, but I don't know. I guess I just looked at her, and then I was like, oh. You know, it kind of just like the Hulk came down, mm-hmm. if
you
will.
You had a Holden Caulfield
moment.
Yeah,
and I was just like, huh?
Holden Caulfield.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
From Catcher in the Rye. Do you know that book, The Catcher in the Rye? You haven't heard of that book?
No.
G.D. Salinger? It's a huge book. I've read it tons of times.
Really?
But the main character, Holden Caulfield, he was like a troublemaker, but he had this whole thing with children. Like, he saw their innocence.
Did they read that in school?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I love how you just became British. Did they read that in school as you reach for your tea? Right?
Yeah.
But you just saw in that moment, and you're like, she's a child.
Yeah, it wasn't even that. It was just like, oh, like, I was aggressive to her. That's why she's crying. And so then I was like, you can come outside. And then she came up and gave me a hug.
Aww.
And then, like, kissed me on the cheek. And I was like,
did you cry?
No.
Okay.
I questioned it a lot. But knew, like, oh, shit, like, oh, damn.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I was like, oh, that's what that feels like?
Mm.
You know? I wasn't aware, you know?
Did you do anything in particular to rebuild your self-worth and self-love sort of thing?
Anything in particular? When I quit drinking, I was like, okay, here's the things I got to learn how to live life without: my best friend, my brother, and alcohol.
Your three and, best friends. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I know, right? Pretty much.
Did you go to meetings?
No.
Okay.
I just quit. And I went back to the roots. I started going to punk rock shows again, which is where, you know, you get in the pit, get out a lot of aggression.
Yeah.
You started doing things like that. You know, I started really paying attention to the people around me, you know, really cutting out these
toxic relationships.
Yeah. These toxic ones. That was like,
Is that hard for you to do, to cut now? People out? Even toxic people like me, I'll get caught up with toxic people. Like I'll get attracted to toxic people,
mm-hmm.
and I'll end up being miserable because I'll feel like it's one-sided, like they're selfish, you know, they're mean to me and they make me feel bad. And then they expect me to be there for them.
Yeah.
You know, I've had a number of friendships like that. And it's so hard for me to like cut the cord.
Mm-hmm. I think it might've been a little hard at first, but then after a while it just got like, I kind of was just like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it just died out.
Yeah. Well, just cause I was just like, I'm pretty aware mm-hmm. of what I need in my life and what I don't need.
But were you able to like confront people when they were being weird with you for any of those people? Were you able to like be like, hey,
no, at the time before it wasn't like that easy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I knew what I needed to do. I just didn't know how,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? Cause I mean, yeah, when you're like, oh shit, this person I've known for years and I gotta basically say peace to them.
You just
and, like,
dipped out subtly?
Dipped out. Yeah. You know,
how do you smell?
All right, like work.
My shirt's dirty, dude. I sprayed it with pussy spray.
What's that?
Well, Steven bought this. There's like pussy spray. It's like a powder. It's almost like a baby powdery smell. And he'll buy it to put in his shoes.
Oh.
Like a summer's eve spray. And then when I wanted to wear the shirt, but it was dirty, so I just sprayed the inside of the underarms with the pussy spray before I went out the door.
Today. Well, maybe it's one of those all-purpose.
Now it is.
Yeah, right?
Now it is.
At first, yeah, it was pretty hard to just, you know, let go of these people. But then as time went on and I saw where I was moving,
mm-hmm.
I was like, oh shit, that was a smart decision.
Yeah.
It was a smart decision.
When did you start doing stand up?
I started in 2010 in Louisville, Kentucky when I was cheerleading. And then, I stopped after my brother died,
mm-hmm.
Stopped all of 2014 and 2015. And didn't get back on stage until 2016.
Okay. So like 3 years, basically the past 3 years.
Yeah.
But you're like, you seem like you're doing very well.
Yeah.
Like you're really, really funny.
Thank you.
And you have an amazing stage presence.
Cheerleading.
Is that what it is?
Hell yeah.
Okay. So
100%.
You know, I'm dying to get into that.
Yeah.
Cheerleading. So you started that in high school,
yeah.
JV, middle school?
No, I was 15 years old. I did competitive cheer.
So you're 15.
So it was club.
You're in Arizona.
Yeah.
You're in your new home.
Yeah. So that's when. So they owned the cheerleading gym.
This family.
Yes.
There it is. You're hanging out there.
Yeah. And so they were basically,
you're seeing the pom-poms. Everyone's happy. You're like, wait a minute.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't pom-pom because competitive cheer is just strictly like consistent. So the pom-poms is more school.
Oh.
All-star cheerleading, which is the competitive side, where it's just strictly competitions.
So were
you're
they
in a season.
Were the parents like a coach team or?
So they owned it. Yeah. So they, they had been in the cheer industry, you know, years and stuff like that. But yeah, so they owned the gym and they had, you know, coaches, you know, amongst each different team, you mm-hmm. know, they had all girl team, co-ed team, small co-ed team, which, you know, was less boys or whatever, the, you know, younger kid, you know, toddler teams and stuff like that. So it's like a, you know, a big, you know, facility that consists of, you know, a bunch of teams. And you do these routines that consist, that are 2 minutes and 30 seconds and are just jam-packed with stunts, tumbling, pyramids, baskets, dancing, jumps, all that stuff. And it's pretty, you know, for people that don't know, it's pretty intense.
Yeah.
When you're not in the world, like, yeah, it's like, you know, you don't understand it. But when you're in that, it's like, oh, shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Very competitive.
Very competitive.
Yeah, just like any other sport is very competitive. Yeah.
It's just different because, like, whereas, like, basketball, football, baseball, you're, like, you're actually playing against this. Yes. You're, like, actually going against this team where it's, like, you go do your routine, you get off the floor, and then the team you're going against, they come up, do their routine, and then you're judged.
Do you do improv?
I did improv training.
So do you miss the, okay, so with cheerleading, it's about teamwork.
Yes.
You're working together.
Yes.
You can't, someone has to be there to catch you.
Yep.
You have to be there as a pillar for people.
Mm-hmm.
So stand up, you're all on your own.
Yes.
Do you miss the, no. Okay. That's why I was connecting it to improv. Because I was wondering if you appreciated the team aspect, if that stuff doesn't even make a difference. It's not related.
I like the individuality.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I, you know, being on so many different damn teams, like, it is tough. It's like, you know, because it's like, oh, I got to rely on this person.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in hopes that they will hit their part of the routine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and I want to say with the stand-up, it's just me.
Yeah.
If I bomb, it's all on me.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. You know, I like that.
Do you ever do any physical stuff, like cheer-esque stuff on stage, act-outs?
No. I've never done a cheer act-out. No.
That'd be fun.
I mean, everyone says that, but...
You'll do it.
I did a backflip one time for a crowd.
That's fun.
You know, yeah, it was fine.
So did the family suggest that you did it? Did you want to do it?
I got into it because I had a crush on this girl.
Okay, there it is.
Yeah, I know, right? You're like looking for it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you know, I was playing in a punk rock band, ska to be exact, and...
Let's go!
Yeah, I know. My drummer's sister was a cheerleader, and so
okay.
I had a crush on her, and one day we were just tumbling in the, or, you know, she was tumbling in the field. I said, I know how to do that. She was like, oh, shit, and I was like, and I showed her.
So what did you do?
I just did like a round-off tuck.
So how did you know how to do that already?
I taught myself.
When you were hanging out at the cheer gym?
No, I taught myself when I was like 5.
Okay, so that's interesting to me.
Yeah.
That
I was everything. I've always been that person that when people are loud about this over here, I step away from it and go find something else.
Yeah. So, because
everybody was loud about basketball, football.
You're a big guy.
Yes.
So I can see that bothering a lot of coaches that you weren't doing that sport.
They were heated.
I
can't tell you how much...
I can't even imagine. Because you're built like a football player.
Yes. And, man, I remember when I went to... When I switched high schools, you know, when I was living with my, you know, adoptive folks, the school saw... I was in PE class, and we were playing this game with a soccer ball or whatever. It was like kind of like ultimate frisbee where you, like, run a couple steps and like throw or whatever, something like mm-hmm. that. We were doing it with a soccer ball. And the PE teacher saw me run and he was like, holy shit. He goes, I need to tell the football coach about this. And I didn't know at the time, you know, they told me later. And then the next time in P class, we were playing that game. And I was just like, man, we already fucking played this game. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, because they wanted him to see you run?
And I didn't know that. Damn. And all of a sudden, these coaches come up, you know, and they're like, you know, it's like very football, you know, like they're in the stands, like watching me. And then
could you tell they're watching you?
I didn't have a clue.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, not until like I put everything together.
Mm-hmm.
And so like I'm just running or whatever. And the coach had the PE teachers and he was like, stop this game. And so they get out, they come out of the bleachers and, you know, and they're like, we want to see you run the 40. And I didn't know what that was.
Yeah.
You know what that is?
40-yard dash?
Yes. I didn't know what that
but,
was.
But still, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
What is that, half around the a quarter around the track?
Just 40 yards.
Okay. Well, who gives a fuck? I don't know what that
it's
is.
Not around the track. Oh. It's a short distance. Okay. But like, they were like...
they wanted to time it?
Yeah, they wanted to time it. And I was like, oh, I don't know what that is. I don't know what it consists of. And they're like, we just want you, you know, see how fast you run from this distance to this distance. And I was like, okay, cool. You know, and I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll just run. And then I ran and they were like, man, you can do faster than that. And I was like, well, you got to give me someone to go against. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I was like, I can't just run it if you don't give me someone to,
yeah,
you know,
I like that.
Give me a challenge. And so he put me up with the fastest kid. And obviously I won. Yeah,
I love it. It's like a good movie.
But yeah, it was, and I ran a 4.340, which is like
very fast.
Yes, it's like.
What was his distance at that?
I can't remember.
Okay,
I just know I
beat
him.
But yours was like incredibly better.
Yes.
Uh huh.
Yeah, which is like I guess a 4.340 is like a top notch.
Right.
Like you're going to a D1 school, I guess, if, you know,
yeah,
with running something like that. And so, you know, they had me come watch football practice, and I was like, I do not want to fucking do this.
Yeah.
You know, they were like, just come, you know, come. And they had me get in a huddle, and they're like, come on, man, you're part of us. Like, trying to get these guys to, like, pull me in, and I was like, fuck this.
Yeah. You're a sensitive guy.
Yeah. I was like,
so
this
that's
is not
the
me.
Environment. Yeah.
Yeah. That wasn't my environment. Mm-hmm. You know, it was too, I've never been a macho person. And it was, and that, like, for lack of a better word to explain it, it was just too that for me.
Yeah. I don't like that.
I didn't like it.
I don't like jocks.
Yeah. It was just too jocky
fuck
for me.
Here.
Yeah. And I come from like this punk rock background, which is not a jocky mentality.
No.
You know, so everyone's like, let's go. And I'm not that guy.
Yeah.
I'm just not that guy. I couldn't connect with it.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm sorry. And they were like, they're like, you know how fucking good you can be. They were trying to get me they were going to help because I was way behind in school. And they were like, we'll help you graduate on time.
Mm-hmm.
They were like offering me like to like, you know, we'll help you graduate on time.
Yeah. We'll take those SATs.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. They were like. And I was like,
so were you doing cheer at this point?
Yeah.
Okay. So
yeah,
then,
I was, yeah.
So then,
I was
were
like,
they fucking
around that time? Like, I was like,
did people shame you as a male cheerleader? I'm just guessing stereotypically that's
no, because a lot of people were scared of me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a lot of people were just scared of me, and I was really good at it.
Yeah.
I think if I sucked at it, it'd be a little different. But I was just so like amazingly good at it that to where people were like, oh, I can't talk shit about that. This motherfucker just flipped over my head.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So people weren't.
Yeah,
you know,
that makes sense.
I didn't get a lot of shit. I mean, people tried, but I'm like, okay, come
what
do
are you
something
gonna say?
About it. Yeah, come do something about it. They were just
do
like,
you want to
oh.
watch this 180?
No, no,
and they're
man.
Like, yeah.
Wait, do something about it? Oh, no, never mind. No, keep doing it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, like people, and people will talk shit. But when they see me do it, they're just like, oh, I'll shut up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then you finished high school and you went off to
Texas.
Yeah.
Got a full ride scholarship to this junior college out there in this very small town. And I shouldn't have been going there.
Really? Why?
I just, you know, where I was at mentally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's just so much shit in my life. I mean, I shouldn't have went there, but at the same time, I did learn a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did learn a lot. I mean, that's where I, you know, started going to anger management. Well, I mean, I actually went to anger management twice. I had to go in high school as well. Mm-hmm. So, but that's where anger management really hit me.
And then
when the first time it was like,
yeah, sometimes you have to hear it a couple times.
Yeah, and just the way the approach was in high school was like, there's just like, you're angry, you need to stop being angry type shit.
No one wants to be told what to do in high school.
Yeah, and there was just something about this stop being angry that I was didn't connect with.
Yeah.
I was like, oh. I was like, what do you mean just stop being angry? It's like all this shit going on in my life, and you want me to just stop being angry?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what I, you know.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah. And so that's why the second time was the best, because it was just like, you know, so much shit. It was funny being an angry cheerleader. I would get so heated at practice.
Really?
Oh, man. Yeah, we used to have this garage door in our gym. I used to punch that shit all the time. Anytime something fucked up in the routine, I was just like, fuck. And it's bam, you know, just yeah. Fucking hit that thing. Yeah, I was that kind of nut.
So then you went to Kentucky?
Yeah, because I didn't finish junior college. I wasn't allowed to come back because I got really drunk at a competition. We weren't supposed to get drunk, but I was like, fuck it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was just so much shit. And so, but at the time, University of Louisville had this program where you could go to the junior college and cheer for the university.
Mm-hmm.
It was like this transfer program. So I was going to a junior college out there and then cheering at the university.
So, and then it ended when school ended? Like, what's like the time span of a cheer career?
Yeah, I mean, you can still do it competitively as an adult, you know, like club-like. You know, which is it's still big, but when I dropped out of college, that's when I stopped like the school cheer shit. But
do you miss it?
No.
Really? You just got over it?
Yeah, I was done with it.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing more I wanted from it. You know, it was, mm-hmm. I did everything, like world titles, national titles, state titles.
Wow.
Like, so I mean,
you did.
I don't need a lot of that. I don't need to do it again.
Yeah.
I get it. I did that, you know, and one was like, you know, I won every major competition you could. And I was just like,
on to the next.
Yeah. I was like, there's nothing more I want out of this. You know, I was like, and I dropped out of college and started doing stand up.
Do you still maintain that competitive spirit?
No, I wasn't even really that competitive.
Oh, really?
When I was in it. No.
Oh, okay.
I just really liked to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I was just so into it, mm-hmm. that, like, the competitive side didn't really matter to me. Like, I was just getting so good, you know, and, like, I don't know. And my last competition, that's when I found out about my brother's death.
Mm.
And so that's when I was like...
After you had competed or right before? Right,
I just got off the flight.
So then what? Did you do it?
Yeah.
Wow. That really?
Was, yeah, it was the world competition. World's.
How did you feel
worlds.
Right before? Like, was that hard to
fuck
do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the hardest. That was probably one of the hardest weekends of my life.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, I can't even imagine.
And my team was undefeated.
Mm.
You know, going into the world championship with an undefeated season. So, you know. And my coaches were immediately like, we'll get you on the first flight out of here to Arizona.
Yeah.
And I said, no, I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do that. You know, my brother was the only person that, you know, of my family that seen me actually compete. So I was like, I got to do this.
Hmm.
You know, there's nothing I can do because he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was like, there's nothing I can do. So why don't I just fucking go out with a bang.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it just, you really find your strength, you know, and it's tough. But certain situations you get put in, and if you accept the challenge, you're really able to find your strength.
Mm.
And it's like, oh shit, if I can do this, then I can do this.
Yeah, I struggle with acceptance sometimes, you know,
mm-hmm.
just like getting over that step.
Yeah.
To be like, I'm powerless over this.
Yeah, naturally. Naturally, yeah. And like I said, like there's, I mean, people think I'm just like this fucking, you know, this tough dude that just gets in. But yeah, I get it. But at the same time, it's a struggle every day.
Mm-hmm.
Every day is a fucking struggle. You know, I do love challenges. And that's what makes it, the struggles not so hard.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love being challenged like that. But yeah, I mean, there's times where I'm like just down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Naturally. You know, it'd be especially weird. It'd be weird industry, if I wasn't. You know?
That's mentally ill if you're not.
Yeah, yeah. To not be that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's someone who's not feeling their feelings, denial.
Yeah.
It's impossible. Yeah. Especially it's like with impossible. What we're doing.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Do you feel that sometimes? Like, do you get...
With stand-up?
If there's rejection from something...
You know, I...
Do you take it...
Rejection, like... With stand-up, I handle really well.
Really?
Yeah, very easy. Because I'm like... Well, I can still go on stage.
Yeah. Like, okay, I didn't get that.
I didn't get that, but I can.
I'm going up tonight.
Yeah.
So fuck you.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that's you know? Good.
And that happened. I had auditioned for AGT.
Uh-huh.
And which I felt weird about, and I didn't want to do it. Not to diss the show. Yeah. Like, it just wasn't. It didn't fit for me.
I feel you on
yeah,
that.
I was just like, oh. When I got there, I was like, this is not me.
You know yeah, I mean? Yeah, yeah.
I just felt it, you know. And so then, you know, my manager calls me. He's like, hey, man, you didn't get the AGT audition, blah, blah, blah. He goes, hey, we're going to, there's more, we have other shit that we can fucking, you know, reach out for, you know. And I was like, hell yeah. And then like 4 hours later, Rogan messaged me.
Dope.
To do a show.
That's awesome.
You know, that was in the same day. So it's just like.
It comes in. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Staying open and keeping that high vibration.
Yeah. You know. So yeah, the rejection there, you know, I handle it pretty good. But when I was younger, rejection was pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I was like, fuck, I just get it everywhere.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah. How do you stay positive?
Yeah.
During all of that.
You know, because I felt rejected from home. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like, you know, I've never been like, it was never, I've never felt in with groups.
Yeah.
You know, I've never felt in with that because, you know, so like, okay, with cheerleading, you know, I didn't feel in with cheerleading. I was really good at it and knew how to do it, but I didn't feel in with it because, you know, a lot of people were like, this dude's a punk rocker,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then with punk rock, they're like, oh, this dude's a cheerleader.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, even with black kids, you know, when I was younger, it's like, oh, this is the punk and he's a cheerleader. Like, what the fuck? Like,
mm.
you know, he can't roll with us. Even certain white kids, like, oh, what the fuck? Like, what is he? This black white dude, you know what I mean? It's like, or, you know, white black dude or whatever, got whatever. You know, like, it was just a lot, like, I never felt in because a lot of people didn't understand it. I was just like, oh, this is just shit that I like.
Yeah. It's people, not who people, you are as a person.
Yeah. People didn't understand that. I mean, obviously, kids.
Yeah. But do you think you also carried that, like, in your head?
Heavy.
Yeah.
Heavy.
When maybe no one else was thinking that as much as you were?
Well, I mean, it was said...
Oh, okay. Then
yeah, it was
carry
said,
on.
Yeah, right. It was said pretty loud.
Yeah.
Yeah. People were very outspoken. And plus, like, I didn't have a lot of friends.
Well, you probably wouldn't be funny if none of that shit happened.
So. I know. Yeah. I have a story to tell.
That's what I taught myself.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You know, and You know, yeah. Going back to acceptance, you know, me accepting so much has made me be comfortable on stage.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like I'm hiding anything from the audience or anything like that. Like, I feel like, and I do feel comfortable with just, you know, going up there and, you know, being funny. That's all I like to do. You know, I just want to go up on stage and just really be funny.
Yeah.
You know, that was how it was with cheer. I was like, I just want to be really fucking good at cheer.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden I just turned into this fucking, people were just like, this guy, like, I would walk into like different cheer gyms and they see me. They're like, what the fuck is this guy here for? His like the football player here for his girlfriend or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they would see me like, you know, put my bag down and, you know, get ready. And they're like, what the fuck? You know? And then they see me get in the corner on that floor and they see me do a tumbling pass and they were like, oh fuck.
Isn't that such a good feeling? And you're like, haha.
Yeah, I'm like, haha. You know, I.
Problem? You know?
Yeah, exactly. And I've always been, I like being a silent killer like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I don't know. Yeah, I've just, and I've been really good about making people eat their words whenever they say things about me. And that's happened because I was able to make my stepfather do that.
Hmm. Oh, really? What happened?
He's terrified of me.
He is?
Yeah, he's scared to talk to me.
Okay.
Very.
I'm
not talking about in the sense of like fighting, you know what I mean? But I think he's terrified of my mind.
Did you have
my intelligence?
Like a situation with him where you kind of pointed, you're like, what's up with all that? Yeah.
He and my mom, they still have to see each other because I have a brother with special needs.
Okay.
That they had together. So it was my half brother, but you know, brother, whatever. And so when they get stuff for him, and you know, whenever there's one time I haven't seen him in years. There's one time I saw him, and he's just very quiet, like, you know, doesn't know what to say to me, and is like scared to even like spit out words, and I'm over here. Like Doc Holliday, you know? Yeah. You know what I mean? It's not even that, you know, I know you, you know, I know your game. You know what I mean? Like I was turning into you and I got out of it.
Uh-huh.
So I know you.
Did you say that?
No, I don't have to say anything, you know, just my presence and the way I carry myself says a lot.
He picked up on that.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, he's terrified because he'll ask my mom questions but won't ask me.
Hmm.
And she's always like, why don't you just ask him? He's not ready for that.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I I'll shake his hand.
Yeah.
And that's probably another thing where he's like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, fuck.
When you said you found your biological dad at 29.
Mm-hmm. I always knew about him.
Okay.
And, like, he was easy to, like, to get a, you know, a hold of. I just, you know, he did 17 years in prison.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't that I was not trying to connect with him. It's just, I knew I had a father until I was in the fourth grade. So this whole time I was like, it was just, I knew my stepfather was my stepfather, but I didn't know any existence of a biological father. I don't even think I knew what that meant.
Right.
Until I was aware about it in the fourth grade. I didn't know what that meant. You know, so I was just, you know, living this life of total confusion. And I'm like, what? Like, I'm like, my sister, my two brothers right here, he's their dad. You know, and I was just like, huh. Fuck. You know? And I remember being younger and trying to put my head in, like trying to understand these things. And I remember I would get really bad headaches from it. You know, it was just like I would like strain my fucking, you know?
Yeah.
It would fuck me up just trying to think about all this shit, trying to understand, you know, I'm fucking, you know, in elementary school and trying to understand.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It's a lot to try to understand. You know, why do I call him by his first name? Because I have his last name. My last name is Harris.
Mm-hmm.
Lacey is my middle name. Mm. But I'm legally changing it, you know, going through that process right now. And, you know, I stopped going by that name like 11 years ago, 10 years ago, you know, just because I was like, you know, he didn't do anything to deserve for me to hold his last name.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't, you know, he you know, he don't deserve to call me a son,
mm-hmm.
you know? Because at one point he would constantly talk about how he didn't like me, but it was like, you're my son, you know? And so it was like, oh. And when I stopped going by his last name, you know, I really felt like I'm not attached to that. Like I'm here now. You know, yeah. I'm starting my own path. You know, my own, you know, I'm doing my own thing. This is my own road. You know, so you know, because people will ask me, you know, like, you know, and that, yeah, that's the main reason is he didn't do anything to deserve for me to hold his last name.
Mm-hmm.
The fuck did he do? You know, besides being evil fuck, huh. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like he was just a nut, and you know, and it's taking me a lot to say this, but I'm not mad at him. I don't feel anything towards him. I don't have anything to say to him.
Mm-hmm.
He's got his own shit he's got to deal with, and for me to like be frustrated that he's still the same way because he hasn't dealt with his shit. I'm not mm-hmm. wasting my fucking energy on that. Hell no. There's
yeah.
no fucking way. You know what I mean?
So when
do I wish him the best? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Go for it. I wish you the best. You know what I mean? Hopefully one day you figure it out. But
so did you meet your dad face to face at 29 or did you talk on the phone?
I had seen him in person.
Okay.
You know, time to time, I saw him at my brother's funeral. And then I saw him at my grandma's funeral. You know, first time I saw him, he was in orange jumpsuit and shackles. You know,
okay.
At my grandma's funeral because he was still in prison.
Yeah, with like a guard or something.
Yeah,
okay.
So he had two guards around him and stuff like that. And it was that was confusing too.
Hmm.
You know, I was like, I don't understand any of this.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, I'm getting out. I'm going to come see you. But I'm sitting here like, why do you need to come see me? Not saying that
what is our relationship sort of thing?
Yeah, what is this? What is this? I'm like, fuck, this is confusing.
Yeah.
You know? And it's been a wild ride.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But the more I realized that I'm glad I was the kid that little kid trying to figure all of it out, because now I'm a person that really goes out to seek and search and understand and learn so much, you know, and just I like to retain the information because a lot of information was held back from me.
Mm.
So now I'm just like, oh, I want to learn. I want to know. I want to understand, you know?
Yeah.
I want to see that. I got to be on the front line of that to understand it, to really, you know, see what it does to me, you know, how it makes me feel, you know? So that's where I've been at, you know, it's just really seeking a lot of shit out. I call it search and destroy, you know? You just
that's the name of a store.
It is?
A punk store.
Really?
I swear to God. So in New York. I have to Google it. Search
really?
Isn't Search and Destroy the name of a store?
It's the name of a song.
Or is that it? By who?
Iggy Pop and the Stooges.
Okay. I think it's also a store. I'm looking it up while we're talking. But do you meditate or anything? Is there a second part of the reflection process?
Reading. I like to read.
Do you? Are you big on self-help books?
Yeah, the one that really really started it for me out here.
Search and Destroy is a punk rock store in St. Mark's Place. How crazy is that?
That is crazy because that makes perfect sense. The book that really did it for me when I first got out here was The War of Art.
Yeah.
You know,
I had that.
Yeah.
Didn't finish it. Resistance.
Yeah. Oh, that's what did it for me.
But it's about resistance.
Because, you know, there was this certain thing, and that book was like the perfect thing for me, because there was certain things that was happening where, you know, when I first got out here, like, people were like, oh, change your name. Just change your name.
Why? Because of all the stuff that we just talked about?
Because Dave Chappelle.
Oh, that you couldn't, but it's not even spelled the same.
And it's
there's only one Chappelle. Your name is Madonna.
Right, I know. And it's my first name, you know? So, like, you know, people, like, that was like one thing I was hearing a lot when I moved out here. Yeah, really was.
Industry people too?
No.
Yeah.
No, just other comics.
Just stupid open micers.
Just comics.
Who are nowhere.
Not even just open micers, just
that's
a lot of people.
Stupid.
Yeah. And so, you know, reading that book, made me understand something. I was like, none of them have to deal with my name.
Yeah.
I hold it.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So why do you need to tell me that?
Yeah.
Do you have to deal with it? Is it something you have to face? Oh, I didn't think so. You know? And I said that. I was like, so, and I go, and they're like, oh, you're like, you know how much of a wall, one person was like, you know how much of a wall you're building for yourself? And I was like, I know, this is so crazy. And then I said, my first name being Chappelle and the biggest comedian in the world having the last name Chappelle, and being a comedian, really trying to do it and really trying to make a name for myself, is not the toughest thing I've had to deal with.
Nice.
And then when they hear that, they go, oh. You know, they don't have anything to say.
Yeah, well said.
Yeah. I was like, that's not the toughest thing I've had to deal with. So I think I'm doing fine.
I like how you're like sure of yourself. And it doesn't leave room for people to question you when people say stupid shit.
And then the crazy thing is when I met Dave.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You told him?
Yeah.
And?
It was funny. So I was coming in to do a spot Monday night, friends and family. And I'm just standing there chilling. And then in walks Dave Chappelle and literally walked right up to me. He was like, what's up, man? And I was like, oh, shit. And I just stared. You know, he shook my hand, was like, what's up, man? And I was like, I'm a comedian and my first name is Chappelle. And then he goes, said it just like that. I remember it clearly because I'm looking at his face right now, you know, as I'm saying it. And then he goes, hell yeah. You know, just like that, you know, that Dave cool hell yeah with the little raspy voice or whatever. And I was like, yeah. And he goes, you going up tonight? And I was like, yeah. He goes, make sure you have a good set. And I was like, hell yeah, man, I got you. And then I don't know, man, he was just so cool. And then I was like, Dave, is it okay if I take a picture with you? And then he was like, Chappelle, let's take a picture. And
I love like, it.
Fuck. Yeah. Shout out to Quincy Weekly for taking that picture, by the way.
He texted me. Oh, yeah. As we're talking. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, yeah. You know, it, yeah. He literally, I told him, you know.
Chappelle said it's okay, okay?
Yeah. It was, but it's like, man, any intelligent person would know that it really has nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. It's my first name.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck you. My mom gave me this name. I'm not changing my fucking name and disrespect her like that. Fuck I look like. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, yeah. You know, so, but like, you know, like starting to read and starting to really self-reflect, helped me be able to intelligently, you know, like in an intelligent way, fucking let these people know, like, what you're saying is dumb.
Yeah.
You know, without telling them that. You know what I mean?
You take your time before you speak.
Yes. How'd you know that?
Because I could tell by the way that you talk.
Oh.
You speak slowly, but you're thinking about what you're saying. Right?
Yeah, how the fuck you know that?
Because I'm having a conversation with you.
Oh, true. You are.
But I'm an observant person too. But it's good. Like, I talk too fast and I talk too much.
You from here?
New York.
From New York.
And I think it's powerful when you talk to someone who takes their time because you lean in and really want to hear what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's more powerful.
I don't even know where I discovered
that. Were you always like that?
No, you know, because like with the anger, it's a quick reaction.
Yeah.
Whereas that, you know, like I'll listen to a person and within that, I already get the context of this conversation so they can say whatever they want and I'll let them finish, but I already know what to say to that because I already understood the context.
Right.
Yeah.
Reading what's under the words.
Yeah.
You'd probably be a really good actor.
People say that.
Yeah.
I've done some stuff and people are like, damn, like, you have a good, I'm like.
Yeah, because if you understand what's under the lines.
Yes.
You can express that and have the words just be the words, but what's underneath is
more.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yes. Yeah, I know. I'm my girlfriend calls me a goober.
A goober?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I don't know. She's just
I know the word, but I forgot what it means besides the candy.
Yeah. She just, she's great. You know, she's great, and she, I don't know. She's made me understand that, hey, you know, it's okay for you to be with someone.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because like, I've always like, just like I don't need anyone by my side like that. You know, very. Just like
you have to trust fall into it almost. Yes. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's how I was with this relationship now. Cause Steven is like, you know, it's the first healthy relationship I've been in and we were best friends first.
Okay.
And he's so nice to me and he like really liked me and I'm always on the other end, you know, with some asshole chasing them, blah, blah, blah. So it was really scary to be with him and to like, it feels like you're taking a leap. It felt like a trust fall. And I was like, I have to lean into this.
Yeah.
So, and it's, you know, rewarding once you let yourself do that. Like you have to let your guard down with people.
Yeah, I know. I know. I hear that.
It sounds like you're on your way. You're doing it even with, you know, with this relationship.
Yeah, I know. People really got to let you. Your guard down, like, leave me alone. That's how I am, you know, like, just very, like, I don't know, when you take so much pain, you know, all the pain that I've taken is just, you know, you're going to build a fucking, naturally you're going to build a guard up.
Understandable,
For so many fucking things.
Yeah.
You know, you just, it's natural. It's a fucking natural thing. Especially when you start to like, you know, work on like awareness and self-reflection a lot and stuff like that. You're just like, oh, get away from me. Oh, get away from me. You know what I mean? Like, oh, you know, just dodging all this, dodging all these, you know, hits. Cause you just, you know, like, oh, I'm not going through that again. You know what I mean? I'm not even letting this even get to the first level.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, but I mean, I do love that. And I'm not even finished learning about myself. There's so much. You know, there's so many layers that I haven't, you know, unraveled yet. There's so much. I know there is.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because as I keep climbing to find more and more, I'm like, damn, that's not it. You know what I mean? There's more. I know there's more. So it's a, yeah, not a lot of people do it, but.
Yeah. So when you write in the morning, but then you say you come home and do some more reflection.
Yeah. That's usually like a, like not really a writing. That's usually just like a sitting in my thoughts.
Okay.
Type deal. Just understanding, collecting the evening, collecting the day. And then that next morning is when I just like.
It's. I love.
Because I don't like to write it immediately.
Okay.
Because I want it to sit.
Hmm.
I like for it to sit. I want to collect it all and sit. Like. So if I go out for a weekend and do some shows somewhere. I'll reflect on like earlier that week, but I won't talk anything of that weekend until I get back here, you know, just to, I want to collect all that, you know, and I collect all that and then get right to that pen and paper Monday.
It doesn't sound like you're attached to your phone as much as other people.
Yeah, I
because
I mean,
it's
I can at times.
But do you know what I mean? It's much harder, I've noticed, for myself to reflect and to write and to get in touch with my thoughts when I'm consumed by my phone.
Yeah.
And the phone is like such a crazy addictive thing.
It is because...
But it's like checking out of all that.
I think the reason why a phone is so addicting is because there's so much validation you can get through a phone. And for me, I don't really need validation. You know what I mean? I almost prefer...
Were you always... Now you don't need validation, or you always didn't need validation?
I don't think I ever really
How
did
do I
with.
Not need validation?
I don't know. I don't know how I got to that point.
Yeah.
But I was just like...
That's a good place to be.
Yeah, because I was like, man, if I really fucking like this, then what someone else says about it, you know, don't really matter. Like, I mean, not saying like it's not nice to hear someone say nice things. I'm not saying that. Like, I take that in, you know what I mean? Because it does, you know, you get an understanding of it. But I think with a phone, it gives you, like, it's a different validation almost as we're like,
fake.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because, yeah, like, I don't know. I just never been that kind of person because I really enjoy what I do and I'm really having fun with it. You know, I'm just having so much fun with it and really enjoying it. And I love the times of where it's like, it's tough and it's uncomfortable. That's that, and, you know, because I'm like, oh, this is exciting actually, because this is that process. This is what you've heard from cats that you look up to. This is what you heard from Eddie Murphy talking about, you know, coming up and stuff like that. You know, you hear that stuff. And you know, when I get to those points, it's like, oh, fuck yeah. I really fucking love this. And,
that's
you know,
a great
so,
way to look
so,
at it.
So look, I'll explain this. I got into stand-up because someone dared me. That's how I got into stand-up. And, you know, until I... you know, quit after my brother died, I wasn't doing it for me. You know what I mean? Not at all. Like, it was just like, I'm still writing this dare. You know what I mean? I'm still writing on this dare to do stand-up.
He's like, the dare is over.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm still writing on this dare. And then when I got back into it, that's when I was like, oh, I want to do this. And when I did, and when I said that to myself, that's when it just fucking when I was like, I want to do this, couldn't tell me shit.
Yeah, you have to do something for you. That's like the way it is with getting sober. You have to get sober because you want to get sober, not because someone else wants you to. It doesn't last.
Yep. And when that was. You know, that was the same thing. Yeah, I tried to go sober, and I was doing it because it was like, yo, you should go sober instead of just like. For myself, you know, and then finally I was like, oh fuck, if I want to be better, even when my lowest point of life, the biggest massive amount of depression, you know, that I was in, I didn't think I'd always feel that way.
Yeah. You know? Saw the light.
Yeah. I did see the light, which is tough to see, but when you're going through it, you know, you're going through it. And mm-hmm. it's like, you know, I saw the light, but I was like, this ain't gonna happen overnight.
Yeah.
You know? I was like, this is gonna hit.
Yeah, I always like am like the everything happens for a reason, and like I always see how things are gonna work out after, and I know mm-hmm. that, you know.
Oh, I think with my brother and best friend passing away, yeah, there's a meaning to that. There's something. There's yes.
Oh well, I
something.
Don't mean. You know what I mean. I wasn't saying that necessarily, but I try to look at things in the positive.
Yeah, but light for me to use as an example.
Totally. Yeah.
I think so because look what I've had to learn.
Mm-hmm.
I've had to learn to be my protector.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they were my protectors. You know, I've had to learn how to. Know who I am as an individual, you know, how to live life without, you know, two very significant people.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking, you know, it's a struggle, you know what I mean? But like, you know, I'm very confident with going through the struggle,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Very confident with it, you know, but it's fucking tough.
Of course.
Yeah. You know, and you know, I'm just a person that really just fucking tries,
and it shows.
Yes.
So thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah.
That feels like the right spot. Well, thank you so much again.
Yeah, of course.
And where can people find you on social media?
At Chappelle Lacey.
Do you want to spell it?
S-H-A-P as in Peter, E as in Edward, L-L-A-C-E-Y.
Dope. Thank you so much. And check Chappelle out, you know, when he's on the road.
Yeah, social media. Yeah.
And if you're in LA.
What do I have? Instagram. I just got a Twitter again.
Love it. All right. Talk to you guys later. Bye.